Well, join the conversation with us on the WhatsApp line or on the telephone line 0214460567. We're going to be chatting right now to Soka Sibiya at Africa.com. And Soka Sibiya brings us quite a bit of very, very interesting stories. Yesterday, we did the cinemas out in the rural areas, and Soka was telling us how this will sort of impact on things in Africa. And we also had a chat about Nollywood, which is sort of the Nigerian Bollywood, and the success of the film stories there. Soka, a very good morning to you, and she's the editor at Africa.com. What's happening on the African continent?
Good morning, Zane, and to your listeners. Well, over the weekend was World Cleanup Day, I think on Saturday. And one of the countries that I want to focus on today in terms of how they are fighting pollution is Kenya. Kenya was one of the first countries, I think, 2 or 3 years ago that basically banned plastic bags in the country. So you're not allowed to use plastics, whether it's for shopping at the marketplace, you know, even, for example, at restaurants where you use the styrofoam plastic packaging for your meals. They've completely banned it, which comes with fines. But another thing that was highlighted over the weekend is that in the island of Lamu, which is a tourist destination in Kenya, islanders there, or people, you know, who just make a living from sailing, fishing, and obviously even doing just some tours on the dhows that they use there, basically built a dhow or a ship, you know, these tour boats, if you can just imagine what I'm talking about, these sailboats that you'll see whenever you're looking at island pictures. So they built that using recycled plastic. And the plastic that they were using were actually all the flip-flops that were found along the ocean when they were doing, you know, cleanup campaigns, which tells you that it's a lot. It's the boat is 9 meters long. They used more than 10 tons of plastic. So meaning all the, you know, all the flip-flops and plastics that they'd found along the ocean that had collected on some of Kenya's beaches was recycled and made into a sailboat. Basically just to highlight the amount of plastic and litter that was actually, you know, killing the marine life, killing even, you know, just the tourism, because, you know, once a place is polluted and littered, even the tourism numbers dwindle. Fishing and marine life is affected. And, you know, as we are all trying to go into a greener, more sustainable or sustainable future, this is what they project in terms of showing what we can do, what can be achieved. Now that our landfills are full, now that we do have plastic, what else can we do? And this is one of the projects that they did in terms of building a sailboat all out of recycled plastic.
So, I know that, you know, we were chatting about to JJ Cornish about the flooding out in Nigeria, but looking at the plastics problem in the African continent and specifically in Africa, because I think we basically slightly different to the rest of the world, and you know, we're looking at 800 million tons of plastic into the ocean this particular year. How big is this problem on the African continent? I mean, I've traveled to Egypt, and there, you know, although everything is nice and clean, there's a high level of consumerism and a high level of you know, food industries and sort of things like that, where these styrofoam containers and plastic containers and especially plastic bottles for drinking and cool drinks is consumed. So how big is it on the African continent itself?
Well, it's quite big, because if you think about it, it always lands up in the places. I think, you know, when we use it subconsciously. I mean, as we say, you know, we use plastic bottles. We don't care. We don't know where it goes. We've always just thought that somebody comes, picks it up, and just throws it somewhere. But that somewhere is now getting full. It's landfills are full. So if you think about it, last year we had landfills collapsing in Ethiopia where 100 people were killed. Because of the landfill slide, you know, in Burkina Faso, the same thing happened, a mudslide at a landfill. You know, people are basically being killed or buried under rubble. And if you think about the rubble, it's mostly plastic. And this is why more and more countries, because we're all part of a bigger global community. So even though our plastic situation might not equal places like China or the U.S., you know, it's adding up. And I think because we're still part of the same conventions like the Paris Agreement and other conventions in terms of making sure that we also meet green targets, we need to work on it right now. So it might not be, as I say, as big a problem as in developed countries, but, you know, it's becoming problematic. So even if you think about pollution in other senses, whether it's greenhouse gases, other emissions, air pollution, it's building up right now, you know. If you think about places in Nigeria like Lagos, the smog in parts of informal settlements in Nigeria is getting to a place where people are now at the stage where they now need to start wearing masks, like you'd find in China or in some eastern parts of the world, where the smog or the air pollution is so bad that people can't just leave their homes, you know, without a mask. They need to check for air quality before they leave the houses. So as I say, we might be getting it at a later stage as compared to the developed world, but it's now starting to pile up. And I think this is why I find more and more governments are taking tougher stances. So even Rwanda has banned plastic bags, because you don't want to get to a stage where you now have a problem when you've seen other countries go through similar things and where you can now basically nip it in the bud.
The thing for me is, okay, is that I've watched somebody actually create a cooking appliance, and it's absolutely brilliant. If you put your mind out there quickly and look at the picture, it's a round drum at the top that's got a solar panel in it, and at the bottom it's got like a braai place. It's the only thing that I can describe it as, where you can actually cook on, and it uses the solar power to cook. And I found that was an absolutely brilliant idea. So in terms of energy and stuff like that, where's Africa moving to in terms of energy consumption?
Well, in terms of energy consumption, you know, last week I was telling Abongile that scientists and researchers are basically now looking at how can we repurpose some of the natural resources that we have. So, for example, in the Sahara Desert, because of desertification and climate change, you find more and more that deserts are getting arid. And now what they're planning to do is actually build solar farms and wind farms on these deserts, because, I mean, there's an abundance of sun there. You know, we don't have a shortage of sunlight in Africa. We don't have a shortage of wind as well. So why not use those two elements to basically create energy? And the projects that you're naming, for example, this is what's happening in other parts. So, for example, in Senegal, where Akon, the musician, comes from, he basically creates backpacks for children who are going to school, who basically have this solar panel on their backpack. So as they walk to school, they are charging these bags, so that when they get home, they have light. This light is used to charge their phones, if they have phones, to use it as electricity for doing their homework. And you know, as we say, more and more people are trying to use even other sources of biogas, you know, in terms of becoming more cleaner, in terms of the energy usage that we have. You know, us in South Africa, we're still heavily reliant on electricity. In some parts of the continent, where electricity is a pipe dream, for example, you know, there's still many of us, almost half of the continent is still not electrified. So in those parts, you find that companies who are into renewable energy are getting a marketplace. Villages and some communities are getting off the grid and basically selling the power that they generated from solar energy back back to the government to actually even start creating a circular economy for themselves as well.
Thank you very much, Soko Sibiya, Africa.com editor. Have yourself a wonderful Tuesday.
Thank you. Same to you.
There we go. Soko Sibiya chatting to us. And I like the ideas that you were sharing about. You have a backpack and you charge this backpack. When you come home, you've got a light to study with.